Blog Talk Radio.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check.
Positivity is all we need. Together we will
Facebook.com/teachyourmind. You can tweet me at RSG44, inbox me, or go on Facebook.com once again /teachyourmind. And this is for the Ultimate Massage and Spa Experience in DC, Maryland, and Virginia. More information also, you can contact me at 240-778-5219 to book your appointment today. And right now we are talking about something that people have not been talking about. I was researching back in the 3 years I've done this show and almost 100 episodes, and there have been several times I've mentioned this act of terror, this wave of terror that's going on in the country of Nigeria, and how now it's expanding into Cameroon, it's expanding into Chad. And despite all the hundreds of people that have been killed, that have been captured, that have been abused, that have been tortured by Boko Haram, you don't hear anything about it on major news. As a matter of fact, the president of Nigeria spoke up more about the Charlie Hebdo case in Paris than he has about Boko Haram harassing his own people. So today we're going to talk about why this has become just a blip on the global scale, although it's a very tragic wave of terror that's going on. If this was Saddam Hussein, if this was Osama bin Laden, if this was Vladimir Putin or any one of those people, Kim Jong-un, if these dictators did half of what Boko Haram is doing right now, and from the organization just to its leader, Abu Bakr Shekau, the things that he has organized, the things that he is doing over there in Nigeria and now in Cameroon, if this was done by anyone that the U.S. deemed a significant dictator, this would have been taken care of. U.S. troops would have been over there. Military would have been handling this immediately. However, this is a blip on the global radar when it comes down to what can be done for the people. So I want to break down why this is the case, so what has happened, and see why this isn't discussed. If you have any thoughts on this, you can always give me a call on Blog Talk Radio, 347-850-1228. Let me know what you think about what's going on in Nigeria, what is going on in that area, and why this is not being discussed. This is Bob's TV show. As always, thank you each and every day for each and every week for listening to the show, going on to the podcast. We have a lot of really important topics that we try to discuss, and I really appreciate you coming out on the show each and every week to discuss some of these topics. Now, this is on the eve of when the United States recognized Martin Luther King Day. And Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement was about fighting social injustice. Because, according like what he said, social justice anywhere is social injustice everywhere. But what we do, we are ignoring social injustice in Nigeria. you cannot, in the spirit of the civil rights movement, in the spirit of what we've been discussing over the past few weeks when it comes down to the dream and keeping the dream alive and seeing what's going on in this country, not look at what's going on with our brethren across the water in Nigeria. A lot of us, our ancestry, if you are African American descent, a lot of us come from that area in Nigeria, Cameroon, Benin, due to transatlantic slave trade. So these are our cousins, our distant relatives, that we are ignoring, that are being abused as we speak. And this has to stop. Just today alone, Boko Haram has moved into Cameroon, has kidnapped 80 people, torturing them, holding them hostage. The government of Cameroon is pleading for international assistance from the U.S. The Chad army has moved into Nigeria to try to do something with Boko Haram, but you know they are undermanned, understaffed, weapon-wise. They don't have the weapons to handle Boko Haram, yet they are still trying to make that effort. But without the U.N. support and the U.N. consent, this would be something that would be brushed aside, swept under the rug, and both Cameroon and Chad will be taken over by Boko Haram as well. Now, remember around this time last year, people were talking about the 200 girls that were kidnapped, and it was a big thing about bring back our girls. On this show here, we mentioned this as being a frivolous hashtag that will not totally answer the calls and answer the calls for what is being done over in Nigeria. And it was cute for a while. People jumped on the bandwagon and said, okay, this is something that we need to talk about. So, you know, the first lady, you saw Brad Pitt, you see all the people talking about bring back our girls. All right, it's 9 months later since those hashtags went out. Where are we now? The girls are still missing. You know, people are still being tortured. Even more women and children being tortured, burned, killed, abused. Families being destroyed, all because Boko Haram wants power. However, we're talking more about Charlie Hagbo. And Jesuit Charlie has been a hashtag movement that's been going across the world in droves. Over 1 million people stood out in the Champs-Élysées in Paris protesting three Jewish men that were killed for a political cartoon that they made. And people wonder why was this such a big story? It's a big story for a couple of reasons. That was a big story, one, because the cartoon was a joke against Islam, a joke against Islamic figures, against Prophet Muhammad. So whenever there is something of that effect going against the Prophet Muhammad, the person is Jewish that does it, of course that caused a big stir. Second thing, these deaths happened to members of the media. So obviously members of the media are going to go out and speak vocally about their own. So that's why this became a global thing, and this became a global outcry. Jesuit Charlie was a global outcry. You see people with, you know, with pins on, with shirts on, with, you know, putting these hashtags on their Facebook posts, with all these different things trying to talk about this particular incident, which of course is a tragic and sad incident. Of course, there's numerous people that died from this particular incident. However, 4, 5, 6 people, because they're members of the media, created a global outrage of Jesuit Charlie. During that time, on the same day, there was another hashtag that was moving along called I Am Baga. We're not at the exact same time as Jesuit Charlie. And this was talking about Mbaga, about the 2,000 women and children that were killed and burned. And this was here one of the deadliest attacks that Boko Haram has done at one time. However, not only the media failed to really discuss it, with graphics so brutal and so gut-wrenching that it's very hard to even put on TV, of course. But not only they didn't discuss it, but it was swept under the rug even by its own Nigerian government. The government of Nigeria has been torn on how to handle Boko Haram. So that's one reason why you don't hear a lot of outcry. the president, he spent 2 weeks before he talked about what happened there. So well, 2 weeks before he talked about the girls being kidnapped. Still has not said anything about Baga. But meanwhile, he's talking about the sympathy that he has in Paris with Charlie Hebdo. Why is this? Possibly, there's a lot of money that is going on, the money that is being transferred between Boko Haram and the Nigerian government. That is something that a lot of people aren't mentioning. While meanwhile, the government, armed forces have been afraid of stepping out. Women are being kidnapped. Boys are being kidnapped and brought into Boko Haram. Communities in northeast Nigeria are being raided and razed on a weekly basis. Basically, neighborhoods are being completely wiped out. And they're being completely wiped out because they don't want to step up. They don't want to step up, and it is unfortunate that Boko Haram has the Nigerian government under so much power. The Nigerian government is not stepping up. If you see all these visuals of people being tortured, abused, killed, burned, if you know that these girls and these boys are being kidnapped and exploited, what can the United Nations do in order to help out these families? What can they do? Can the United Nations just step in and say, you know what, President, you're not doing your job. We're going to have to overstep your bounds and go into Nigeria and try to clear this out. Unfortunately, they can't do that because amnesty rules say that the United Nations cannot just do a military state and just go in and knock people out. However, the United States have done this numerous times in other countries. We've done it in Vietnam. We did it in Iran. We did it in Iraq. We did it in Afghanistan, in Syria, in Egypt, all these places that the United States government has gone into saying that country is being run by a dictator. And this country is being run by a dictator and their lives of the citizens are in danger, we need to step in, step up, and show that this is not the way to run the country. The United States have done this in numerous cases over the past 10, 15, 20 years and beyond. However, when it comes down to Nigeria, we have turned a blind eye to what is going on in that country. Why is that? One of the main things, even though there's a wealth of resources in Nigeria, there's no major resources that are immediate need or immediate concern to the United States public. And because of that one fact, that is the main driving factor to the point where the United States is stepping away from it. They've kept very quiet about it. When asked about it, the president kind of brushed it off or kind of goes around the situation and tries to avoid mentioning Nigeria. The other thing is he hardly gets any questions in regards to Nigeria, but he might do just a little blurb, a little catchphrase or something to that effect that shows that he understands what's going on, but he's just going to ignore the fact that Nigeria right now is in a trying state with a terrorist dictator that is dominating this country. So, in essence, who can step up? Who is going to be that force to step up when it comes down to taking out Boko Haram? And that's the thing, that's the big issue. Of course, there's no real strong dominance when it comes down to armies within the countries of Western Africa that will step up against Boko Haram. If that was the case, they would have taken them out a long time ago with a smaller force. We don't know how many people are involved with Boko Haram. We don't know how many people that are actively. You have so many children, so many boys that have been taken away from their families that are becoming a part of this organization by force that people have a hard time knowing who to combat. So in this case, it makes it virtually impossible to know who is a part of Boko Haram, who's against it. And with this going on, it creates a challenge if the United Nations ever try to step in. And this is my TV show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. And what we're talking about is what about us? The topic is what about us? We hear all these people talking about Jasri Ali. We hear all these people talking about, you know, what's going on in North Korea with Kim Jong-un. And these, of course, are things that need to be on the radar, but in a smaller scale than Boko Haram. And that's the biggest issue that I have right now, because right now, with everything that's going on in Nigeria, this should be in the forefront, and this should be a top priority. But unfortunately, it's going to take one of three things happening. One, Nigeria is going to slip up and go to some place like Mali, where Islamic terrorists are at the height there, and team up with somebody like, you know, an organization like ISIS to get resources and get funding. If that happens, I guarantee you Nigeria will be cleared out in a week. Number two, if an American-born citizen goes over to Nigeria and something tragic happens to them, then it'll be a national, a global event. But the thing is, if it's a person that was Nigerian-born, lives in Europe, goes down there and gets killed, wouldn't matter. If it's a Nigerian-born person that lives in America, goes back to Nigeria and something tragic happens, won't matter. Only thing that's going to happen is if an American-born, Caucasian male goes over to Nigeria to, say, record it, like, say, if a reporter or a cameraman or somebody, some sort of ambassador, Caucasian, goes over to Nigeria, unfortunately, that would be the only way that this will hit on a global scale. And until that happens, this is still going to be a blip on the international radar. CNN and CNN.com has done a great job at least mentioning a lot of what's going on there. There's several different reports going on in the past couple of days that you've seen about Boko Haram and trying to keep people abreast of what's going on with Boko Haram. However, that's still a very small scale compared to what's going on in Paris. And with Paris, everything has already been, you know, resolved. They've captured six people. They captured six people originally, and then, you know, 12 more people been questioned about it. But the thing is, the Nigerian media, the global media, has not even stepped up to even mention what's going on. You know, the thing is, it's sad. And it's sad, it's ridiculous, it's unfortunate that only a few organizations are talking about it, but we have to stand up. We have to make sure this presence is felt. Now, I do applaud a lot of those who are listening right now who have tried to put these images out there to make sure that we see what's going on. And once we see what's going on, then we will know how to combat this, how to step up and say, you know what, hey, let's see what we can do. Let's see what needs to be done about Boko Haram. Let's see what needs to be done about the people that are being abused completely. But we're not doing that. We're still not doing that. And what's going on, we're not even taking the time to even figure out why this is still happening. But it's just a sad and tragic story. It's a sad and tragic situation, and it will not resolve until the global media steps up and makes this important. And, you know, I wanted to mention this because of the fact that we cannot go into recognizing a dream and just avoid talking about this. You know, and you see, African American celebrities that try to step up. Boris Kodjo is one of them. He has strong roots in that country, and he has stepped up to try to mention it. But it takes a big name. Unfortunately, it takes a big name. And Boris Kodjo is big in our community, but he's not globally large enough to make an impact. And that's the problem right there. We got to have, you know, even though you see on a rare occasion George Clooney or somebody mention something like that, it's not a big, you know, foot-stomping type of event when they talk about Nigeria. Nigeria is not a large country when it comes down to GDP. It's not a large country when it comes down to resources that are used outside of Europe. So in that case, because it's not a large import or export country, except for the fact that there is a large number of Nigerian-born people that live in the United States, especially here in the DMV. In D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, there's a high population, high pocket, especially Montgomery County, Maryland, of Nigerian-born citizens. And they're probably afraid to say anything because of fear how it would affect their family. They're probably afraid to try to promote that social change here in the United States and get people aware of it because of the fear that they have with their families. So it is a tragic event that only will get merit, only will get legs once we decide to step in to let people know about this. Voices need to be heard in order to make things right with all the people that are losing their lives over in Nigeria before Nigeria gets completely wiped out. Once again, this is Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. And, you know, final thoughts on this, I just want to mention that, you know, we have to demand that the media talk about this. We have to demand that the president talk about this. The president has an email that you can contact him in regards to this. He has connections where you can go online and ask about these questions for the press conferences. Little things that can be done to kind of make it vocal, and if we get enough people together to talk about it, then action might be done. Of course, it's going to take a lot, then just a couple people, it's going to take a large mass of people, but it starts with one. One person steps up and continues to talk about this, then there's ways that we can make a change in Nigeria, make a change in the social consciousness of what Boko Haram is about and the terrorist things that they do. Please continue your efforts. Continue those efforts of talking about Nigeria. Continue the efforts of talking about the tragedies that are going on there, the murders, the slaughters. And once we do that, there's a lot of change that can be made. So, social change, social injustice. I just want to clear up a couple things that I've been talking about the past couple weeks. Of course, you mentioned Hollywood Shuffle last week. Goes all about social change. People who know by now that the Oscars were completely whitewashed. David Oyelowo was not nominated, neither was Ava DuVernay for the movie Selma. I have not seen this movie. It's a very powerful movie. It's a strong movie that gets a lot of different aspects of Dr. King and the movement itself. So on this weekend, Martin Luther King weekend, a lot of people have the day off tomorrow. So please, I encourage you to check this movie out. If you're listening to it on podcast, even though it might be after Martin Luther King Day, please, you need to go out and support this movie and check this movie out. So with that in mind, you see how a blip and a blurb when it comes down to social injustice still going on here in the United States. What about us? What about the contributions that we make in entertainment, contributions that we make to our society that are being ignored by the mainstream media? So maybe think about this on a much smaller scale, that the social injustice here is still being pushed aside, even though we see a movie that kind of brings it into the forefront, even though we see different movements going on in the country that are trying to shine light on the social injustices of this country, but still being pushed aside. What about us? What can we do to help to bring it to the forefront again? You know, Ferguson, you had Staten Island, you had, you know, Trayvon in Florida, young kid in Ohio, you had a lot of different things that happened over the past year and a half. However, still to this day, things are being swept aside, things are being pushed aside, and we're still being pushed over when it comes down to recognizing social injustices. So now is the time to take, not only on a global scale, but on a national scale and a local scale, a look at how we try to represent ourselves. I know it's very hard to try to fight every battle, but we know there are certain battles that need to be fought. And we have to look into ourselves first to see what we have to do that action and to take that action both nationally and internationally. So, in closing tonight, what I want to say is that Martin Luther King Day is a day of service. So you need to take the time to find out a place where you can serve your community, serve your public, little things that you do that make a difference in the community, help to bring a new light and a broader perspective on what needs to be done in our community. If you take the time to clean the sidewalk, to maybe feed the hungry, to to renovate an abandoned or a run-down facility that is very important to children or the elderly or people within a community, that's something that can make a difference in people's lives. So that's what Dr. King's Day of Service is about. And when you do that, you also need to bring to light the services of those who are trying to fight the good fight, the services of those who are trying to stand up for social injustice, both nationally and globally, the services of those who are trying to be in the forefront when it comes down to revealing and combating social injustices throughout this country and throughout the world. So once we do that, once we come together and we figure out how to band together as one and a unified front to stop some of these injustices, then we can make a difference in the world. And we have to show it in more ways than just a hashtag. We have to show it with our words. We have to show it with our actions. And a one-line hashtag is not going to make that difference. So we have to stop fighting with the hashtag and start fighting with our minds, start fighting with our hands, start fighting with our voices, start fighting with our feet, and make that difference and make the move to show who we are and where we stand in our community. And once again, this is the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toy Entertainment. And as always, thank you each and every week for listening to the show. Tune in to Love Talk tomorrow. Love Talk, we're talking about the read option plan, talking about being an option of being a choice. Ms. Choices will join us, as usual, to talk about her blog. It might be about you, which where this show is based off of, and just trying to down our relationships. So once again, thank you for listening to the Rise TV Show. Look forward to hearing you tomorrow with your voices and your opinions on Love Talk. And make sure you are taking this time and taking every day to be an important part of your community and be an important part of the lives of the community around you. So think small when it comes down to the focus. Think concentrated, I should say. Think concentrated on the focus of where you want to go. Think broad in your dreams and goals, and think positive and think powerful when it comes down to making an impact on your community. So, once again, this is Mr. Rise Stevie, and until next time, we'll talk.